As I mentioned, we have a two-hour show today. We have a second half, and we're going to feature something from the group that's joining us live in studio after this. Let the music do the talking. Let the song introduce you to who my next guest is. This is All I'll Ever Need, and it might be all you ever need on Midwest Beats.
Strong, my eyes are clear, my heart is open and free. The sun has warmed the sand beneath us, and you gentle touch, my life with you is complete. I'll follow you around the world if you want it, 'cause you
need. This radio show is all you ever need. Don't forget that. Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM on the dial. LakeshorePublicRadio.org on the internet. And we are streaming worldwide. And that is a pretty song, don't you think? It's All I'll Ever Need. It's the Nash Berry Collective. And we have the entire collective here. It sounds like a Borg thing with the Star Trek. The collective is here. All right.
So that was...
You guys were kind of last minute. Our mutual friend John put us in touch, and I just happened to have some open time today, and you flew in from last night from California?
California and Denton, Texas, these guys.
Wow. Yeah. And you're here to do a special fundraiser to help the YMCA at our good friend Chad Clifford's Front Porch Music.
Yes.
Have you stopped over there yet at Front Porch?
Not yet. We're on our way after this.
Beautiful little facility there. And the basement area, it's like a coffee house, like a little coffee house stage. Donovan's played there. A few different people have played there. Yeah.
Nice.
I shouldn't say a few. A lot of people have played there. But he's had some big names and a lot of he does a lot with the local music scene. Mm. And a lot of the students that learn there get to perform. It's a really nice place. So it's very cool that that you're coming in. What made you decide to come? Well, first of all, let me introduce everybody. We got Ken Berry. We've got Connie, is it Nassos?
Nashus.
Mm-hmm. Abby Berry and Max Schwartz. Now, Abby and Max, your boyfriend, girlfriend.
That we are.
Yes, okay. Abby, you're the daughter of Ken and Connie. Mm-hmm. Ken and Connie, you're together.
Yes.
So, okay, we've got the family tree here.
Yes.
Now, what brings you to Northwest Indiana? Why do you care about our YMCA in Valparaiso?
My niece Erin is, I don't know her actual position there. I think she's the director. She runs the place.
Okay.
Right, Erin? And my family is here. I'm from here. I grew up in Sauk Village.
Okay.
And so we usually make an annual trip to visit. And we were talking a while back, a few months back, and we thought, why not play in that area? So we decided to make a fundraiser for Erin's. Aaron's YMCA, listen to me. Yeah.
So that brings you back home. Are you going to be here for a while?
Till Tuesday.
Okay. That's a great name for a band, by the way.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the band, the group. Nashberry Collective. We just discovered prior to going on air that Abby and Max, you have your own group called the Mayberry Band in Texas. So what's the Nashberry Collective? Is it an on and off kind of thing when you get together? Is it something
we're all musicians, and Abby, unfortunately, got the sickness as well.
Okay.
So we've had kind of what we've called a family band.
Okay.
And it's been really fun. And we just, I'm a composer. I have a little studio in my house. And we have just done the thing that everyone else does, which is just have a live little recording of us playing whatever tunes we feel like. And a couple of original ones. The first one you just played was one of Connie's originals that Abby was singing. And we just had called it the Family Band. And there is a Vimeo site that has the rest of the stuff on it. I don't know what it's called.
It's under the Connie Nashus. If you Google that, the Vimeo.
It's just something for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Abby pursuing her education and has met Max. Max goes to the University of Miami. I should let these guys talk about it.
Okay.
But they have their own thing, and lately we've just been playing together a lot. I was just down in Texas, and I played with Abby and Max on some of their gigs, and it's just so much fun. And we do every kind of music you can imagine. It's pretty cool.
How did it all start? Connie, you're from Sauk Village, Illinois.
Yes.
How did you meet Ken, and how did you wind up in California?
Ooh.
And let's do the little chronological lineage here. How long has this all been going on?
Okay, so in Sauk Village, I took piano lessons, and I was always into music. Of course, I fell in love with the Beatles. I was one of those girls watching the very first Ed Sullivan.
February 9th.
And so I just wanted to do that. I wanted to be in a band. So I was in a band, a local band called Albatross. Boy, we are really going back. During high school. And then I went to the American Conservatory of Music for piano in Chicago. And while I was there, my heart really wasn't into that classical music thing. I just, again, wanted to be in a band. So I would check the bulletin board every day. And one day there was a postcard, which I still have, that said, horn band looking for a female keyboard player singer. So the location was in Downers Grove. No, Now I have to get this right. And so I went, I took the train to go audition for this band. And the band was Aureus. And we, I was with the band for 12 years. It was a horn band. We toured the country, went to the Bahamas, and made some records. Landed in Miami for a couple of years, where Kenny was going to school at the University of Miami. And our guitar player left the band, and so Kenny joined, and that's when we met.
Did you play the Chicago circuit at all?
We played Chicago, not so much, although the band before Aureus, Albatross, we played at Luigi's in Chicago Heights. I remember that. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I worked there.
You did, so you probably saw us.
Well, it was after Luigi's, it became Rocks.
Oh, okay.
And do you remember the Point East?
Yes.
I was club director.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay. So I ran Point. We had, we after we closed Point East in 83, we went to the old Wooden Nickel. And we turned that into Jubilation. When I left Jubilation and we went to Luigi's, my friend Rocky bought it and it became Rocks.
Yeah.
And yeah, the I thought it seemed a little familiar. And I was looking at you, listening to your story, going, does this sound so familiar?
Yeah.
So we probably have run in some circles together.
We'll have to chat, yes.
Yeah, good stuff. So
then Kenny is from Kalamazoo. And,
oh, okay. So you're a Midwestern boy.
Yep.
Very cool.
Going
so
to school.
You guys met through this band.
In Miami.
In Miami.
We had a house gig then at that point.
Okay.
So, because before that we'd been on the road. And so then we landed in Miami for 5 years. Kenny joined the band, and then you take it from there. What's the next step?
Thank you so much. Well, the band was kind of, I mean, it had probably run its course.
Uh-huh.
So we were, you know, we were trying to figure out what we wanted to do with the rest of our lives. I wanted to be a studio guitar player. Connie wanted really to be a studio singer.
Uh-huh.
So, L.A. So we showed up in Riverside, California, with $200 in our pocket, but we had a gig at a.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
When you're young and you got a guitar, that's all that matters.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was, you know, it took us another year to actually find Los Angeles. We moved to Burbank. And then we just knocked around and we did our thing for a while. And then.
No, when you say our thing, that's the band thing?
That's Connie and I had a little duo.
Okay.
It was called Who's Who.
Okay.
It was pretty funny. I mean, it was, it was a great thing. I there really isn't a lot of that kind of live music left in the Los Angeles area. Certainly nothing you could make a living off of. But back then, which was the late 80s, we actually could. So it was nice. Got us in there. And then, you know, we just paid our dues for a long time. And I finally got a gig with Barry Manilow. I was his guitar player for a number of years. Was on the road till the late 80s. And Connie played with a couple of groups, one called Exposé, which was a...
the dance band?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And also, what was it?
Real McCoy.
She toured
it was kind of a disco.
Exposé, wasn't that Let the Music Play?
No, that was I'm taking you to the point of
no return.
Yeah, right.
They're touring again.
Yes.
The three ladies are touring again.
The original.
On the 80s.
You're getting mixed up. That's Real McCoy.
No.
That's Exposé. Point of no return.
Oh, you're right.
I used to spin that when I was DJing in the dance clubs.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
They were fun. I did a tour with them on keyboards. Yeah. Yes.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah. And also Real McCoy, which was...
That doesn't ring a bell with me.
It's a German... they did a remake.
It was club music. It was like a dance. What was their big? They had an album that was really
another night, another dream, but always you. And like
I know the song.
Do you remember? It was also a dance version of that Redbone tune. What was it?
Come and Get Your Love.
Yes.
Wow.
With a rap section in it. Yeah. That was.
I gotta look that up.
Yeah. That's fun.
That was fun. Very cool. So, yeah, I used to spin Exposé records all the time.
Yeah.
In fact, I just found one at the record store a couple days ago. Had the, like, gold cover on it and the three ladies on the front.
Yeah, they're nice. We did the Tonight Show. I did the Tonight Show with them. That was fun.
Wow. So you guys have quite a bit of a resume there. And now you're playing at Chad's front porch.
Exactly. Hey. With these two. These two are the stars of the show right here.
So you're in L.A., You left the group format. You're doing the duo thing. Is it more of a folky duo? I mean,
It was Top 40.
Top 40?
Yeah.
Okay.
But But then, you know, when we decided to start a family in the late 90s.
Abby came along and ruined it all.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank God.
I got into doing television music, so that's kind of what I've been doing for the last 20 years.
Okay.
But
hey, that's a good gig, though, if you can get it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It actually was kind of a lifesaver. So, and I'm still doing it. It's great.
Can you say some of the shows you've written for?
I work for a guy who does, his name's Dave Vanacore, and he does the music for Survivor, and that was one of the first reality TV shows.
Right.
And
I think they're on their 20th anniversary now, aren't they?
Yeah, they just wrapped the... it's 20 something, maybe even 30. I don't know.
Wow.
It's been a great thing, but he has a lot of shows. And when I was working with him, that was kind of the beginning of reality TV. There was a show called Temptation Island.
I remember that.
Big Fat Obnoxious Fiance and
that
Joe
I don't
Millionaire.
Remember? I do remember Joe Millionaire.
Yeah, yeah.
That lasted like a season, didn't it?
Yeah. No, it was.
Was that successful?
Two seasons. You know, they were Fox shows, and they were what we'd call novelty shows. And
okay.
There was a twist, and once the secret was out, you kind of can't do it again.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
But they were very successful at the time, and it was very exciting. And I've kind of stayed with that. I do. I wrote the theme to Big Brother. I do the music. It's now the way it works is it's kind of a. There's a staff of us that do all the stuff. We do, you know, Undercover Boss and Big Brother.
So is it kind of like a Brill Building of television?
Well, it kind of, except we're all in our own home studios.
Okay.
And since we all are pretty experienced at it's kind of gotten away from scoring, and it's more formatted music, meaning that the cues are to order, and then it's post-production is where they put the show together. So we're just giving... the editors what they want.
Okay.
But it's wall-to-wall music. And
is Connie involved in it with you? Or are you
only
doing your own
only
thing?
Only if I need some female vocals.
Okay.
She's very affordable.
Okay. We're going to get back on that. Now, Abby, when did you come about into the music business here?
Into the music business?
Yeah. When did you decide I'm going to be like mom and dad?
Well, they started me with piano lessons when I was 4. Which I stuck with kind of as long as I could. I was never... Yeah, I didn't want to practice. At first, I would crawl under the bench during the lessons. I really was not into it. I was also 4, you know. But I stuck with that until high school, and then I went to a high school called Los Angeles County High School for the Arts. And there, I was a vocal major, and I kind of had to choose between opera and jazz. And I had done some classical singing, but I knew that opera was not the thing.
You got to talk about LACC.
I was also in the Los Angeles Children's Chorus. That was really fun.
Okay.
Probably the highest dollar things on my resume. Not necessarily that I was paid. But
with the LA Phil.
LA Phil. And we got to sing at the Hollywood Bowl a couple times. Really ridiculously... just high profile things that I did not deserve because I was like 13. But but then I went to LOXA, my high school, and I realized I didn't want to do opera, so I had to do jazz. And I had kind of been, you know, my dad's degree is in jazz guitar.
Okay.
And I kind of had been rejecting that a little bit. But I...
Because we always reject what our parents do.
Yeah, it's so not cool, jazz.
You're such a rebel.
Oh, dad, you jazz. Oh. So, but I went ahead and learned a standard. I had to learn Skylark for the audition. And then through LOXA, I heard about this program called the Grammy Camp Jazz Session, which is funded by... It's no longer existent, but it was funded by the Grammy Foundation. And they audition high schoolers nationally and put together a big band, an 8-person choir, and a combo. And you get to do... It takes place in February. The groups get to do gigs around L.A. at, like, nice jazz venues. And then it culminates with a performance at the Grammy nominee reception.
Okay.
And you get to walk the red carpet at the Grammys, and you get to play at the Grammys after party. So it's, like, dream gig. And I met a lot of amazing people there, most notably Max, who was...
So, Max, you were there, too?
I was there, too, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He was playing bass, and I was the lead soprano.
Now, were you in the combo then, or in the jazz?
I was in the choir. He was in the combo.
Okay.
The combo was like a rhythm section, like for like guitar, keys, drums, and bass. So we had our own set of music, and then we were also like playing the rhythm section parts for the choir.
So
stuff.
What year was this?
This was 2016, February 2016.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where are you from originally?
Let's see. Milton, Massachusetts is where I'm originally from, which is like it's the last T stop on, I think it's the Orange Line in Boston. But I grew up, I grew up in Boston. I moved to the Bay Area of California in 2003 and grew up in a town called Walnut Creek, which is like a few towns over from Berkeley, California, which is where I went to high school. Was in the jazz program there. It's kind of this historic, jazz program that's produced a lot of great people. Like, probably most notably would be like Benny Green, Joshua Redman, recently like Ambrose Akinmusiri, who's like really amazing trumpet player. Went to high school there. Met Abby in the Grammy thing.
Also the next gen.
Yeah, and so, we met, and we were like, wow. I mean, I heard Abby's voice, and she was the lead soprano, and she just had this, like, golden-toned voice, like, as if she wasn't trying, but it was just, like, perfectly balanced. You know, it sounds like she's been singing for 1,000 years and is...
You don't say these kinds of things very often.
That's what I think.
We're recording it, so you can play it back to it.
Yeah. You know, that's a thing that I'm, like, really... appreciate in like young musicians is like they're very they approach whatever they're doing with a lot of care
and energy
passionate. You know, I with a professional attitude no matter the age, you know. So we were working together in the Grammy program, and then we met later that year in the Next Generation Jazz Orchestra,
he's responsible for that. He was asking me all the time at Grammy, "You should do the Next Gen thing with me. Let's go on this tour together." And I was like, "No," because I knew it would be a bunch of jazz boys and me on this tour, and I didn't want anything to do with it.
It was a big band,
and it's a big band gig with a big band
with
and
a,
one, singer,
one singer,
and I would be that singer. And I was like, "Nah, I don't want to do it." And then I get a call from the director of this big band. He was like, hey, Abby, I heard your name from one of the guys at SF Jazz. I was just wondering if you'd like to audition. And I was like, was it Max? And he was like, yes. I was like, oh, man. But it was an amazing gig. We toured to Japan for 2 weeks and played and made great friends that we'll probably know for a very long time.
Yeah.
And great connections. And that kind of cemented my love of the jazz community, because that's what was keeping me before. I actually went to UCLA after high school for linguistics because I just felt like I didn't have a place in the music community. And after doing the Grammy thing and the Next Gen thing, I was like, oh no, I do want to do music. So I had to go through the transfer process, which in college is terrible because what they don't tell you is you don't get scholarship and these schools are very expensive. And so the only place that I was able to actually attend was the University of North Texas, which is where I am now. And it's the oldest jazz program in the country. It's an amazing program. I had kind of a big city attitude and I didn't really want to go, but it was the hands of fate guiding me to like the best possible option. So that's where I am now.
No regrets. All right. Let's play another song. What would you guys like to play? And then we'll come back and talk some more. We got Out of the Woods, Reasons Why, Albuquerque.
Mom says Albuquerque.
Okay, we'll play Albuquerque. And tell me a little about this.
I actually wrote this in a songwriting class at UNT. The purpose of the assignment was, as it was a copy, the master's assignment. So I was copying a song that I love by Joni Mitchell called Morning Morgantown. And I was trying to have a lot of lyrical imagery.
I can hear some Joni in a lot of the music here. We're talking with Nashbury Collective. They'll be performing live tonight at 8 p.m. at Front Porch Music, 505 East Lincoln Way in Valparaiso. That's Chad Clifford's place. For those of you that know Chad, and who doesn't know Chad in Northwest Indiana if you're into the music scene, it's a fundraiser for the Portage Township YMCA. So go on out and enjoy a nice evening with a cup of coffee. Say hello to Chad and the staff and support local music and catch the Nashbury Collective live. Will this be one you'll be performing?
Yes.
Most likely, yes.
All
yeah,
right. Sure. This is Albuquerque. We'll be back after this on Midwest Beats.
Driving down this interstate, miles and miles of flat, flat plains. Way in the distance, the road seems to touch the sky. Seems to touch the sky. With everything we own in tow, we prepare to meet our home. This dusty little desert town called Albuquerque. Called Albuquerque. Second life can be anything.
Albuquerque. Got a good friend that plays out in Albuquerque and lives there, Mr. Jamie Harrison. He'll be flying back in here as well. Play a couple shows for us. He'll be back on the air. But Albuquerque is the name of that song. Not to be confused with the Weird Al version, of course.
Right.
But
I know all 11 minutes of that by memory.
Do you really?
Yeah. In case you need filler, let me know.
Nashberry Collective is the group. We've got Ken Berry. Connie Nassos?
Nashus.
Nashus.
Yeah, like Nashus.
Like Cassius. Nashus.
Yes,
like Cassius. Cassius Nashus. Yes.
Okay. And Abby Berry and Max Schwartz. And Abby, you wrote that song with Max, yes?
Nope, I wrote that one all on my own.
Wow.
He provided moral support there at the end.
Okay. I can hear the Joni Mitchell in that.
Oh, great.
So was Joni a big influence on you?
Yes, kind of, as I started writing. I consider her music a little kind of mature, I guess.
Okay.
Kind of mature listening. So when I was younger, I didn't listen a whole lot. She was around, you know, having musician parents, mm-hmm. things are played, you know, during dinner. And, you know, they float back through my brain sometimes. I call my mom and I'm like, Mom, what song was that? But no, I didn't really start listening of my own volition until more recently when I started writing.
I thought, given your jazz background there, that with the Mingus album she had done. Or something.
Oh, yeah. I got to delve all the way in, get to know every album.
So who was an influence on you vocally?
Vocally, oh, this is kind of a surprise, I guess, but my biggest vocal inspiration truly is Beyoncé. Yeah, I know I don't sound like
no.
her at all, but my mom's laughing at me. I've never been so in awe of a performer.
But she is a good singer.
Honestly, she's an incredible singer, and there's just so much... just vocally, like, I love what she's doing all the time. Like, tone-wise, I could get into vocal mm-hmm. pedagogy here, but, like, she's just doing all the right things where there's enough of a... She sounds like she's really working, but it doesn't sound like she's pushing anything unnecessarily. So, I mean, I love her singing. I love Esperanza Spalding also. I grew up with a lot of Norah Jones.
Okay.
As well. And now Joni, I think, is having a massive influence on my sound more and more. You know, each month I think I morph a little bit more into her vocal style.
Okay. Are you familiar with Judy Collins and her
Oh, style? A little bit. Someone told me, I sang Both Sides Now at a gig recently, and someone said that I sounded like Judy Collins. I was a little disappointed because I wanted to sound
like
Joni.
Yeah. But well, Joni wrote it.
She did, yeah.
And then Judy had the hit with it,
mm-hmm.
and then Joni had a minor hit with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're in the same ballpark.
Yeah, I'm not too far from.
And they remind me a lot of each other in many ways, vocally speaking.
Yeah,
I mean, they're similar without being the same.
Mm-hmm.
So what goes on now with Max? How do you guys work?
Well... He goes to school at the same place that my dad went to school, the University of Miami,
okay.
which is, what did we say, like 1,378 miles?
It's 1,347 miles away from Abby's house.
From my house in Denton, Texas.
So I've do you collaborate by computers then? Do you write together or do anything?
We have written together a little bit. We've helped each other with our own songs. We haven't truly co-written a song together yet. But yeah, our time together is limited, so it makes musical collaboration also difficult.
Yeah, the long distance, it's interesting the way that our, like, relationship and collective musicianship and, like, our musical growth sort of, like, where they intersect and where they don't. And I think at least at this, like, we've been together, like, 2.5 years or something, and so we're both... aspiring songwriters, and mm-hmm. We haven't written much together. Abby's taken a class in it. I haven't. We've written in different styles from each other. So at the moment, we sort of like haven't really sat down. We keep talking about it. Like this is the weekend that we're gonna like write a song together or something, and we kind of just never do. And when one person has an idea for a song, the other person encourages them to finish it.
Okay.
So that they can get the whole experience of writing a full-fledged song. So every time I'm like, hey, Ab, I wrote a verse and a chorus or something. She's like, good, finish it. I don't want to help you. because we both need – I don't know. I guess it's just sort of so that we can both have the songwriting chops to write a, you know, a fully-fledged thing.
So what you is know? The Max Schwartz style? What you said your styles are different. What is your style? We've heard hers.
My style, well, it's interesting. I don't know.
How about your family band background?
Oh, well, Yeah, I guess in terms of like inspiration, where I come from, I grew up playing in a family band, family bluegrass band called Oak Grove, which is the neighborhood in Walnut Creek that I'm from, where I grew up. And so we played like traditional bluegrass, and I played banjo mainly in that band. I'm going to school for, jazz bass, but my mom played the bass in the band, and I played banjo in that band. So grew up playing that. I guess, I mean, I don't really even consider myself a singer, but I guess vocally speaking, what they call the high lonesome sound in bluegrass is where I feel comfortable, which Abby keeps trying to get me to I'm using about 5% of my vocal range, and it's all up here.
There's no vocal pedagogy.
Yeah,
in bluegrass.
Because the whole bluegrass tradition was created for radio. It emerged to for the Grand Ole Opry's sake, and playing around a single microphone and projection was the number one priority with the music
and
with
vocal health.
And not vocal health, says Abby.
There's a lot of strain there.
Right. Which to me is, fine. I guess what I'm trying to say is that's people who sing that way and singing that music has sort of like made me write and perform in a certain way, performing in a certain comfortable area of my vocal range when I'm singing. And
Why broaden out into jazz and why bass?
Well, they don't teach bluegrass in school, I guess, is the main
thing.
Really?
Well, if you go to Chicago, Old Town School of Folk Music, you get some bluegrassy dobros and mandolins and all that out there.
Yeah.
But they don't do that in Miami, huh?
No, not in Miami. Well, I mean, I just mean in the public school system, there's nothing. There's nothing. I mean, there are some places where the International Bluegrass Music Association has some feet in some school districts, and I actually narrated a chapter on their documentary and their like instructional DVD that they give out called Discover Bluegrass. So I know that it happens, but just not where I'm from.
It seems like today bluegrass and Americana music is at its peak for the first time since like the 30s and 40s.
Yeah, it's pretty popular.
It's like you're switching gears at a time when you could be striking gold.
Right.
Yeah, Max.
Right.
He's gonna play jazz till the
money.
Well, you're kind of turning back.
I'm kind of turning back. Yeah. Okay. So I don't know. I was like, I love jazz. I guess the majority of my like work in Miami is like playing clubs and playing with singers and playing bass.
Like a funk bass, like a Stanley Clark.
No, like stand up bass playing like Great American Songbook tunes, like in hotels and stuff. I play with this great singer named Yamit Lemoyne. She has like 5 or 6 regular gigs in Miami. So I play a lot of those with her, and she just put out a record a couple weeks ago. So if you're listening, you made it.
So you play a stand up acoustic bass.
Yeah.
That's my main thing. I take back my sarcasm because that's classic. There's not enough good players out there. Speaking of Front Porch, where you'll be playing tonight, are you familiar with the Decemberists?
Familiar, yes. Knowledgeable, definitely not.
Chris Funk, their bass player, used to teach there. He's from Valparaiso, and they've been Grammy nominated, and they have that whole, I don't want to really call it, I guess you could call it America. I don't know what you'd call the Decemberists. They're kind of all over the place, but Chris Funk is like a local legend.
Cool.
And you may be able to talk about him tonight with Chad a little bit. He's a good guy to know.
All right.
So, especially from bass player to bass player.
Yeah.
But anyway, you have your own group, the two of you, as I mentioned earlier, called the Mayberry Band. We're going to try to get to something from that off the internet here in a moment. But what exactly, how do you play if you're, how many thousands of miles apart?
1,300.
1,300? Okay. That still doesn't make for an easy gig.
Nope. Right. It does not. But we play together, when we can. This past weekend? Yeah, we had a couple gigs in Dallas, and it was the first time we were trying out like the full band thing with some people we really like, and a good friend of mine from high school and both of our favorite drummer, a guy named Pelle Greenberg, flew out from New York to play in a couple gigs in Dallas. And playing as a duo, like we're fairly comfortable when we get ample time to rehearse, but we almost never do. So it's we play gigs when one person's in town or the other person, whatever, when we're traveling, sort of to offset the costs of plane tickets to see each other. So which is not necessarily always the best move, but
it does cut into the personal time when you have to play.
It does cut into the personal time, yeah. 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 But we just booked another one. We're playing in Miami in the beginning of August after we drive back from driving from LA back to Miami. So at the end of that drive, we'll have a gig.
Well, he's in school. What are you doing? Are you playing out with the folks, or are you going back? Are you still in school?
I'm also in school, yeah.
Okay.
I actually am a year ahead of Max in school. I just finished my junior year. He just finished his sophomore year. And just to give him a little shout out, he is we're the same age, but he's a year behind me in school because he is part of this program called the Stamps Jazz Band?
Quintet.
Jazz Quintet. Yeah. Stamps Jazz Quintet as part of a special scholarship for extremely smart and musically talented students where it's a full ride where they put together a jazz quintet that goes through their entire four-year degree together. And so the quintet will kind of reassemble every 4 years, and they wanted to make sure that Max was in that quintet, so they waited. They kind of put him on hold for a year so he could start in the fall of 2017 instead of 2016. So he's a year behind me in school. Okay. But we're both going to school, both getting
jazz degrees,
BMs in jazz, so we can make lots of money. We both are very lucky to be going to school where we are. UNT and Miami are great schools. Our professors are great. I was just talking about a songwriting class that I took from my professor, Rosanna Eckert, who is kind of widely known as just a fantastic performer and vocal jazz arranger as well, and songwriter. And school is great. I don't know. We're both learning so much and kind of forming our musical identities separately, which I think aids the process of finding our collective musical identity.
It seems to be what Ken and Connie have done too. You guys seem together yet apart. You have your own things going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is kind of the next generation of that.
Yep, they're here to replace us.
But Ken, as a guy who's consistently working and writing, do you ever tap into Abby for the youth perspective?
Oh, all the time.
How helpful is she?
Well, she, you know, it's... Yeah, actually, well, yes. Really, though, for the musical thing, I'm an older guy, but I should be staying current. And it's actually, I talked to some of the other composers, and they're actually kind of jealous because if you have a kid, especially when it's, you know, high school, college age, they can tell you, you know, they can point you in a good direction to
like a mole into Generation Z.
There you go.
They can point out music that you otherwise may not ever hear. You know,
right.
So everything is so fractured now in terms of where people hear music.
Yeah, there are no genres anymore, really.
Yeah,
it's just a blur.
And there's no the top 40 thing or the just where you would go to hear the new music when I was younger, just it doesn't really exist.
Right.
And there's so much more of it that it requires, it requires someone who's, you know, who really has their ear in that world. And of course, young people all do. So that's been nice.
That's like one of my favorite things to do whenever I see you when I haven't seen you in a while is to show you, like, here's the music that all my friends are making, here's the music that me and my friends are listening to, and he's always like, wow, this
is really,
I can hear
surprising
the influence
sometimes.
Yeah, it's this band that I used to listen to coming back,
and Max too, because he's Max is really, I mean, he's very into the bluegrass thing. I mean, he's extremely knowledgeable. He teaches. You know, he's toured with Lori Lewis, and you know, I mean, he's done a lot of stuff in that genre, and you know, he's turned me on to some stuff about the Punch Brothers and those guys, and it's knowing young people is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me wish I had gotten more into the teaching part of it, because that must be really wonderful to be constantly surrounded by these new opinions, because the whole music world has changed. The business has changed so much.
Oh, it's a night and day from 20 years ago, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
We are talking with the Nashbury Collective on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and they will be performing tonight at Front Porch Music, 505 East Lincoln Way, downtown Valparaiso. It is a fundraiser for the Portage Township YMCA, and Aaron called in Connie, and what was her official title? Jose? Oh, I have it here. Senior Program Marketing Director.
Yes. And she runs everything, too.
Senior Programs and Marketing Director.
Yeah.
We'll just say it's Aaron's YMCA.
Yes.
Yeah. Aaron's Y, yeah.
Now, the show you're doing tonight, how long is it going to be?
I believe it's two sets starting at 8 o'clock.
Okay. What kind of music are we expecting? Is it all original?
We have some original. We do a couple of Nickel Creek tunes, a little Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Of course, some Beatles. Eclectic.
Some Beatles because...
You were there screaming.
I was there. I'm a Beatle maniac. Yes, I'm one of those. And,
We'll have various combinations of the four of us.
Yeah.
Max and I will do some stuff duo. Then we might recruit one of my parents. My parents will do some
duo
stuff.
So you'll be on and off stage?
Yes.
It won't be all four of you all the time?
Right.
Plenty of musical chairs, musical chairs.
But it will tend to not be jazz. Our thing leans a little more towards the rootsy music and acoustic. It'll be all acoustic.
And Max will be playing the banjo.
And
I will be playing,
well, be
playing a banjo.
Banjo.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like, kind of got a house concert vibe, that makes it that much more intimate, and that it's not, the performers and the audience, and they're 20 feet apart from each other. And
it's like a living room concert.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a homier vibe, and we kind of, we have a couple sets worked up, but we're going to sort of also wing it a little bit and kind of play what we feel is going to make people happy.
Okay.
Know? Yeah.
Abby, are you going to do most of the lead singing, or is this a big harmony kind of situation?
We try to kind of pass it around. Okay. I'm trying to get Max to sing as much lead as possible.
Oh.
Here he comes.
At least in the Mayberry band, we kind of default to me, but I think we will all sing lead on at least one tune.
At least one.
Connie on bass.
Yep.
Ken, you'll be doing guitar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you going to play cello?
Oh, no. Oh, man.
I was hoping some cello in there.
Oh, it's been quite a while.
Okay.
It's me and the cello.
When's the last time you touched a cello? Like 12 years ago?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, hey, now.
No, I'm sad. I bet she could kick some butt on the cello, I'm sure. But
well, tonight I'll be sticking to the guitar.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a safer move.
And then Max on banjo.
On a banjo.
All right. Sounds good. Let's play another song, and then we're going to try to see if we can find a Mayberry Band song. Should we do Out of the Woods or Reasons Why?
Out of the Woods, that's a pretty song.
Yeah.
All right. Out of the Woods, this is Nashbury Collective. Again, you can see them performing live tonight, 8 p.m., Front Porch Music in Valparaiso, right downtown, just off the square. Stop in, visit early, pay a little visit to the store. It's a great little farmhouse-type store, and it's all filled with great instruments, vintage and otherwise. And give a shout-out to Chad Clifford while you're there. Great staff. They do a lot for the local music community, and they are an educational place. So if you're looking to maybe have your children, or if you yourself feel the need to want to pick up an instrument and learn, that's a great place to do it. Front Porch Music, great teachers, and right here close to home. All the old-timey music and all the new stuff, too. This is Nashbury Collective, Out of the Woods.
I wish you out of the woods and into a picture with me. I wish you over the moon, come out of the question. If this is gonna run around in my head, I might as well be dreaming. Run around in my head. I roller coaster for you. The time out of mine must be heavenly. It's all enchanted and wild. It's just like my heart said it would.
was gonna be. If this is gonna run round in my head, I might as well be dreaming. Run round in my head.
And onto the front porch. Front Porch Music is where you'll find that song being played. Nashbury Collective, Front Porch Music tonight, 8 p.m., 505 East Lincoln Way in downtown Valparaiso. Nashbury Collective, let's talk a little about that song, Out of the Woods. Who wrote that one?
It's a Nickel Creek one.
Is that a Nickel Creek one?
Yeah.
Okay, not familiar with Nickel Creek. I know who they are, but I've never really listened to them.
Great band.
Oh, Nickel Creek.
Chris Thiele.
Okay.
Crutch Brothers, that was their childhood band,
right.
Wasn't it?
Okay.
Right, do you guys know the Live From Here, the new...
Yep.
Yeah, formerly, what was the name of it before?
Prairie Home Companion.
Yeah, now it's Live From Here.
Garrison Keillor.
Right, exactly. And now it's Thiele's show. Chris Thiele is the host, and Chris Thiele's sort of like the quintessential mandolin... player of the world.
Okay.
Yes. And he's kind of a musical deity at this point.
Yeah.
All right.
He's transcended his instrument. Really.
Totally.
He could be playing anything.
And he's sort of paved the way for, you know, the direction that acoustic music and like bluegrass stuff has been going for the last 25, 30 years. Nickel Creek started, I think, when he was 13 or 14 years old.
Wow.
With him and Sean and Sarah Watkins Chris was from San Diego, and the two of those, the Watkinses, are from somewhere in L.A. And but they started when they were like, you know, about, you know, between 13 and 15. They played together for 17 or 18 years. Took a 7-year break for Chris to be in the Punch Brothers. You know, he was going through a divorce and writing some what he likes to call chamber grass music.
Okay.
So bluegrass instrumentation, but through composed music. So then he started with, yeah, playing with the Punch Brothers and stuff. And then Nickel Creek got back together 2 or 3 years ago and did a record called A Dotted Line. That did they win the Grammy for that? They were at least nominated for, like,
everything. It's a great record.
Yeah, A Dotted Line was their reunion record.
I've heard about them forever, but I've never had a chance to actually sit down and explore their music. I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah. All three people are sort of like central in all of these really popular groups or, you know, syndicated broadcasts, you know, in the case of Thiele.
And Sarah Watkins has gone on to be in a kind of a trio of three really, really important female figures in acoustic music. It's her, Sarah Watkins, and Sarah Jo Rose on, like, mandolin and a lot of things, and also Aoife O'Donovan, who's kind of a Bay Area folk musician. And their trio is called I'm With Her, and they put out a record a couple years ago,
yeah, called and See You Around.
See You Around, just great, great
See,
music.
See, this is how I learn about the
Yeah,
music.
I was going to say, they are just a plethora of information here.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I knew a lot. I don't.
Yeah. There's a whole world to explore.
Wow. Yeah. Connie, we've talked a little bit about the fact that Ken is doing television. We've talked with Abby and Max and what they're doing. When they're all doing their thing,
yes.
What do you do?
You know, and I have been learning bass, yes. I went to school for keyboards for classical piano, and I don't know what came over me, but a couple years ago, I just decided I wanted to learn to play the bass. So Kenny had a bass in the studio that he uses sometimes, and it was completely foreign to me, but I kind of self-taught. I got together with some fellow musicians in the L.A. area, and we have a little kind of a band that we play around town and some open mics. And so I really have been learning, and then I just started really realizing I needed to take some lessons. So I'm taking lessons from this great bass player named Jerry Watts Jr., who's just like an L.A. amazing guy.
Hmm.
Great, great educator as well. And so I'm getting serious about that. But my main gig at home when I was raising Abby and could no longer be on the road as a musician, I also am very interested in coding. So I make websites now.
Wow.
I'm a website person.
Did you do the Nashbury Collective one?
She made the Mayberry website.
Oh,
she does a
okay.
great job.
And the Kenberry one.
And
the Max one.
And the Abby one.
And
she's made four websites for just the people in this room. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You've transposed that that old school
days.
So you're part of that change we were talking about.
Yes, yes. So I really
Ken, you've
that.
Wisely surrounded yourself with people to keep you current.
That's right.
Keep you contemporary.
Yeah.
So what's next? What's next with Nashbury Collective? Are we going to see albums coming out? You have a studio. You've got some talent here, obviously.
Keep saying it. At this point, it's kind of like a summertime thing, and we got the summer coming up, and you know these guys tend to be just around. When I get them into the studio, though, I like to just become the engineer, and they don't really need somebody to give their opinion about production stuff. They kind of can do it themselves. But, you know, after sitting in front of a computer for so long, I'm getting back into playing more myself, and that's my kind of whole, you know, from here on out, I want to play more guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
So go in, record, and then when they're back at school,
mm-hmm.
engineer, mix it, post-production,
yeah.
put out
go.
An album.
Well, I mean, the whole thing
Get
is
rich.
Playing with these guys is really
Abby needs
fun.
New shoes.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's true. There's a certain amount of business that has to be taken care of. But Max is... you know, he seems to always be getting these groups together with young people, and
mm-hmm.
sometimes I get to play with them, which is really fun. And so I just hope there's more of that, too.
Okay. Yeah.
I think Max and I both have a lot of – we're doing a lot at school as well. Max's Stamps Jazz Quintet is putting out records. I'm in the UNT Jazz Singers group, and we've been putting out records. So
you can find it on your website, then?
Yeah.
Okay. We need to update that.
Well, let's close out with a Max and Abby collaboration here from the Mayberry Band. We got just a couple of minutes left. We're going to play as much of it as we can before we head to news. Ken, Connie, Abby, Max, thank you very much for joining us.
Yes,
and
thank you,
we'll see you tonight at the Front Porch Music, 8 p.m., Nashbury Collective. What's the name of this one?
Give Yourself to Love by Kate Wolf.
All right.
What brings us together here has blessed us all today. Love has made a circle and it pulls us all inside. The strangers are his family and loneliness can't hide. You must give yourself to love. Love is what you're after. Open up your hearts to the tears and laughter and give yourself to love. Give yourself to love. I've walked these mountains in the rain. I've learned to love the wind. I've been up before the sunrise. Always knew you'd find me, though I never did know how. And like sunshine on a cloudy day, stand before me now. So give yourself to love. If love is what you're after, open up your hearts to the tears and laughter. Give yourself to love. Give yourself to love. Love is born in fire. It's planted like a seed. Love can't give you.